This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Catherine, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Catherine, why don't you tell our listeners who you are and your company and some of your background, please?
Well, we are Mahogany Salon and Spa, and it's actually three companies, one located in Stittsville, one here in Carleton Place, and also within our Carleton Place company, a Medi Spa as well, Medical Aesthetics. So there are the three businesses. We're located on the sort of west end of Ottawa, if you will. And the second business, which we established, which was here in Carleton Place, we actually purchased land for that building and built our own 14,500 square foot building. And it's in the Carleton Place community. So we're about 20 minutes west of Ottawa at that location. We've been in business now 20 years, 14 here in Carleton Place, 20 in Ottawa, the west end of Ottawa. And we have about 85 staff all totaled. It is a mother-daughter operation. And I called my daughter from Toronto and asked her if she would join me in business, actually just to help me get started with the business was where we started. I needed someone I could trust, and it seemed to be taking on a life of its own. And so I had asked her if she would give me a hand. And here we are 20 years later. So a short 6-month gig became a 20-year experience for mother and daughter working together.
Well, first of all, congratulations on 20 years. That's a big milestone. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And what were you doing before you took over this business?
Well, this was a second industry for me, or a second career, if you will. I'm a social worker by educational profession, and my daughter is actually a photographer. And so neither of us got into this knowing an awful lot about what we were doing. So there was a lot of learn as you go, very much so. I operated one of Ottawa's second largest developmental service agencies, working with individuals of various types, medically and physically fragile, many of them. And so it was very much an operation of working with individuals in a multidisciplinary way. Really loved the work, but I had done it for a little over 30 years. And I felt it was time that I moved on and did something different. I was feeling a little bit bored and a little bit stale. And I just needed to jump into something different. So my oldest daughter, Amy, said to me, "Mom, you like taking care of people. I think you'd be perfect to open a little spa." And something resonated. My husband was in electronics and owned a business in Ottawa's West End, was busy traveling actually all over the world. And I had the occasion to travel with him once in a while, Pat. It was hard work. Somebody had to do it, go to a salon and spa maybe once or twice a day. But I would come back to my hotel room and write down all these notes. And with those formulated in my own mind, I didn't know then, but what I was building in my own mind was the brand of the business that I wanted. Back then, I thought it was what I liked and what I didn't like. Now I know I was actually developing a brand for the company that I would go forward with. So the business grew really beyond what we ever imagined very quickly in Stittsville. And I still had in the back of my mind, and so did Kristen by this time, that it wasn't really the full spa experience we wanted to create for people. And so the only, it's impossible to do that really well if you don't own the property. So in Ottawa, in the West End, we are a leased property. And so in Carleton Place, we bought 4 acres and built our own purposeful built building from the ground floor up. So all of the little things that I felt I couldn't get the way I wanted them to be, or get it right in my mind anyway, in Stittsville, what I did was I tried to plan for those then in the new building and the new property here in Carleton Place. So that's what we did.
And why Carleton Place? Interesting choice of location. And within Carleton Place, are you drawing from, which regions are you drawing from?
Well, there's two questions in that. The first one is, why Carleton Place? It's a growing community. And in this last 3 or 4 years now, it has been designated as Canada's largest town or community in all of Canada. And it is a suburb of Ottawa, very much a bedroom community of Ottawa. And one of my strongest affiliations to Carleton Place, of course, is because I grew up here.
Oh.
I grew up on a dairy farm just a few miles east of here. I'm one of 7 children, and Carleton Place was my high school and the place we gravitated to for social activity and events, basically. So it was a community I knew. We did also look at Barrhaven. We looked at a place in Kempville and a few other communities around Pat. But in the end, we went with what we knew. And there is a fairly new four-lane highway that extends out towards Carleton Place from Ottawa Central. And that had just been finished. And so I thought, okay, this community is likely to grow. And it actually has. It's worked out quite well.
And so you draw from Ottawa, but do you draw, what are the regions you draw from?
About 50%. I would say, Pat, about 50% of our guests are from Ottawa, but we draw from right up to Pembroke. So the towns of Almont, Renfrew, Arnprior, Pembroke, right to Perth, sometimes as far as Kingston, and then we draw right down to the Brockville and the St. Lawrence border, basically. St. Lawrence Seaway. So they aren't all just Carleton Place people, not by any means. It's been something that's very much surprised us. And we've actually been very surprised that we have so many guests coming from actually Ottawa.
Now, Catherine, when you first took over the business, like just before that decision was made, did you explore any other industries, or you knew right away that this industry was the right one for you to get involved with?
Well, you know, I really have loved great customer service myself. I've always loved the beauty industry. I always thought it was very important to present yourself well. Those things were always foremost in my mind. And something just resonated when my daughter said, "You like to take care of people, Mom. You're taking care of people for 30 years in developmental services." It was always as important to me that the food that was on the table, the clothes on their back, the love and support and attention that they got, their medical care, all of those things became really important, and more so as the years went on. So that people could feel the full sense of life and wellness within life. And so that has always been something that's been important to me. And I think that when she talked about opening a spa, I thought something just stuck, Pat. It fit. And it felt comfortable and friendly to me. I didn't know that what I was hoping would be the slow down plan has never actually happened. So the slowdown plan has been speed up. I've actually never worked harder. So although you want your guests to come and enjoy the whole experience of a friendly environment and very serene and comfortable and people feeling pampered and taken care of, there is actually a lot of work that happens behind the scenes to make that happen and to make it look seamless and comfortable and that it's just all natural. It doesn't come firsthand in everybody's mind, I have discovered, and in the skills that people have. Because in 85 people, you hire a lot of different personalities. And so having them understand what your raison d'etre is and what you're actually trying to do every day for your guests is sometimes a challenging fit. It isn't always easy.
So 20 years in this industry, what changes have you seen? What significant changes have you seen in the last 20 years?
Well, I think one of the very biggest, and there are several, but one of the very biggest, 20 years ago, going to the spa was a really rare thing, if you will. It was considered, trying to find the right adjective to describe it really well, but it was not mainstream. It was a special event. It was a special occasion. It was rather decadent, if you will. Maybe that's the word, decadent. But going to the spa now has become a part of people's budgets. It's become a part of people's monthly thing to do or a social thing to do with a girlfriend. Taking care of your feet, your nails, your hair, all of your body, your skin, your presentation, all of those things have become quite mainstream and quite regular for many, many people, more so than I ever would have imagined. So that is one of the biggest shifts that I've seen in that 20 years. The other big thing that has been a huge shift is that operating spas was somebody, if you will, an entrepreneur opening a little business on the corner as a, or maybe downtown Main Street in a small town, and you took on 1,500 square feet or 1,000 square feet, and you opened a few rooms, and you did nails and hair and what have you. And it's moved away and spread into so many different kinds of spas in that 20 years, you can hardly imagine it. So within the spa industry are many different categories of spas. And one of the largest to grow, certainly during the pandemic and since then, is home-based spas. And so the spa that I operate here at Carlton Place and in Stittsville actually competes now with home-based spas where someone will renovate their basement or their garage into a little spa, maybe hire one or two staff, or maybe just go it alone. And so tremendous numbers of, and I would almost refer to them as cottage industries, have developed out of businesses. And you don't have to have a spa. You don't have to have rented or leased a property or built a property. You don't have to have ownership in the same way with contracts and that kind of thing. You actually can do this out of your home now. So this is happening more and more. And when the pandemic hit, this really changed how people thought about this industry and what people as customers, if you will, as our guests, are prepared also to go to is different than what we necessarily operate ourselves now. It's really changed it. during the COVID, we lost 25% of our staff. And that's a huge number of staff then when you open to rebuild. And a significant number of those opened up their own little operations out of their homes. So the industry has really opened up and changed much more than I could have ever imagined.
And Catherine, will that trend continue, do you think?
I don't want to hazard a guess just yet on that, because we have had, of the numbers of staff that we have had leave to open up something of their own, there's quite a few who are now coming back and have said, I know I opened and so on, and I'm just wondering if you would have me back. It wasn't the right decision for me. And I think that that's a very important consideration in owning a business, period, Pat. Is it the right decision for you? Some people are meant to be the organizers, and other people are meant to be the doers. Some people have a great business sense and are prepared to really exercise that part of the brain that's not the creative part of the brain. And operating a business, you have to have a nice dose of both. I know myself, I argue with myself, the social services comes out in me all the time, but I still have the checks to write and the bills to pay. And so I fight with myself to continue to always use my business sense and my background, although it be in social services. I still had budgets and had goals and direction and all kinds of financial pressures I was under in operating Ottawa Carleton Life Skills. And so I had to draw on that part of my brain then to be businesslike and to recognize that there was a lot of financial responsibility.
Let's dig into this a little bit. So, you know, we've covered your past, your history, and then you decide to become an entrepreneur. So one of the key questions we ask all of our guests is there one, two, or even three lessons that you would like to share with our listeners about becoming an entrepreneur if someone is considering it for the first time?
Well, I had a person who's very much wiser than I tell me that good business is made from and is at the cornerstone, if you will, of good planning and hard work. And I think it takes both. And I don't think that all the work you want to do in the world is worth a darn if there hasn't been first the good planning and formulating a plan and sticking to it and seeing it through. Not being, open enough to show to other people who have more experience and business savvy than you have where you are vulnerable is a big part of it. And being open enough to share that, your business plans, and ask them for advice. So I didn't do this alone. I can't take, you know, any kind of accolades for that. I had some people who were prepared to sit down and say, oh, Catherine, you forgot about this piece here. So this is all part of the research. I really warn people, if you will, or would like to impress upon them to be cautious about it and to put your head together with other people who could advise you. To do a lot of reading and a lot of research is also important. And it's okay to start from fresh with nothing, like in the very beginning with nothing, and build it one step at a time. I know we were in a position early on, and I didn't have marketing experience. In fact, I'm not really great with IT of any kind. I really much don't like it, actually. Part of that is my age, and I didn't grow up in at the time when computers were in front of us in schools and things like this. And so it's never been something I've been very fond of. But I think that I think what I'm trying to say is that it's okay to start one step at a time and to do a lot of the work yourself in the beginning. And so I remember Kristen and I, we needed to build a website and we had to figure out how to do it. I'd never done it before. We had her girlfriends come and model with their feet in my crystal bowls on the dining room table while Kristen took pictures, and that became the pedicure bowls and the whole introduction of pedicures. I know it's quite laughable, but the lighting was great in my dining room. And so we were not in a position to be able to go out and hire marketing expertise to assist you in one way or in another. We had to build one step at a time. And I think that, you know, every company, when they start, certainly we, I was the, you know, I was the person at the back of the building who directed the traffic of the staff working for us. We cleaned the toilets, we scrubbed the floors, we did all the laundry in-house. I pressed it myself personally so that they would be pristine sheets that people could enjoy in the way that I wanted. So it's all right to start with a lot of labor, and you're doing it, you're it in the beginning. Because as we grew very quickly, I got to the point where I then had to hire more and more people, and I couldn't direct it all myself. I couldn't manage it all myself. I couldn't do all of the cleaning. So I had to hire a little laundry department. Then we had to hire a cleaning department. Then we had to hire a couple of managers. And so building and not letting it get out of control, understanding where it's going, what the revenues are, what the expenses are, and paying a lot of attention to your bottom line and the various line items within your financial reports was really important. Because if you cannot pay the bills, you cannot operate, you cannot pay your staff. And so it's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing. And you've got to handle that within your capability to handle it financially and both human resources wise. And I caution people against growing too quickly, because the cash flow gets away from them. And all of a sudden, they might be making money, but they haven't got enough cash to keep the business going. And you have to recognize that in growing a business.
And it's really more of a common pitfall, I think, than people would think. When we talk to entrepreneurs, often, yeah.
Absolutely, Pat. Very often when businesses start, they start out and they appear outwardly to be doing exceedingly well, and in 3 or 4 years, they're closed. How is it possible that a business that was doing so well is now closing? And often it is that the cash flow got away from them. And so recognizing, if you think that something's going to cost you $15,000, you better be budgeting $30,000. If you think it's going to be $10,000, then $20,000, because everything seems to cost more than you ever consider. And there are pitfalls along the way where there will be some financial surprises, and they can be devastating.
I think people are not only underestimating what things cost, but they're also at times overestimating how much revenue they're going to generate and by when. And that's not a good combination, those two things.
No, it's pretty risky. When you're budgeting, you want to look at what's the worst possible position. You know, if you think you're going to bring in this much, okay, let's be really conservative and let's imagine that we don't bring in anywhere near that amount. And I think that it's wise to do that. Certainly building our own 14,500 square foot property on 4 acres took a lot financially to pull together. And I was, just for the financial planning for that, I was about a year in pulling together all of the resources from various means that I felt that I needed in order to move forward with that project. Because we were literally going at that point from about 30 staff up to about 55 or 60 staff in one fell swoop. So in enlarging the business by that much so swiftly, it was really important that I understood that we needed a turnkey operation as well. All of the protocols written down, all of the procedures written down, even the smallest detail would be then replicated, would be practiced and worked through in Stittsville before we opened Carlton Place. So that what I would literally do is bring some of my staff, hire a whole bunch of new ones that we had to train, but all of the procedures and practices and services we provided would be mirrored in the business that we first started. So that the two, whether you worked in Carlton Place or whether you worked in Stittsville, pedicure was the same pedicure. You could close your eyes and not know which building you were in because the procedures and everything were the same. So that was important that all of those things that you can control when you're at one location all the time, Pat, as the owner or as managers, and all of a sudden you've got to divide yourself to two locations, you better have a great turnkey process. I hope I'm describing that well enough to you, Pat, but that was really something that I started to consider early on and thought it might be extremely important, and it ended up being very important, actually, as we expand.
Really what you're describing here is working on the business, not just in the business.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And building it from the ground floor up and not shying away from the difficult tasks and the difficult subject matters that you've got to tackle as you move forward. That made it to me at the time a lot of sense that we take the time. So we actually bought our property in Carlton Place about 3 years before we actually built, so that we would have a good formulation of where is the money coming from? How much more money do I need to mortgage? How much do I need to borrow? Are my banking arrangements set up for a line of credit for everything that I need? Establishing the credit line and the bank accounts and so on. And I also considered that I didn't want to have all my eggs in one basket. So I wanted to deal with more than one financial institution as well. And I've been many times, as we've grown the business over the years and have had peaks and valleys along the way, I've been very glad that I deal with more than one financial institution. To me, if I could give any advice, that would be one piece. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure that you spread it around a little bit. And again, that intersection of planning and hard work, ingredients.
Great. Thank you so much for that. Those are great lessons. Catherine, where can our listeners find out more about the spa and the services that you provide?
Thank you. We are really what you would consider to be a generalist spa. We have a wide range of services, pedicures, manicures, all kinds of sugaring, waxing. We do all kinds of body treatments and a full breadth of hair salon services. About 50% of our staff, or a little bit more, are estheticians, and a smaller amount are our salon. And we also have registered massage therapy, quite a number of services in that line, with a wide menu of services. I can be found at Stittsville at 1261 Main Street, Stittsville, Mahogany Salon and Spa Limited. Stittsville, Ontario, and in Carleton Place Mahogany Salon and Spa, Carleton Place Limited, at 369 Napoleon Street, Carleton Place.
And what's the website address for those that want to check you out virtually first?
At www.mahoganysalonandspa.com. And it will take you to both sites, and it will also take you to our medical aesthetics clinic as well.
Great. Thanks, Catherine, for your time. Really appreciate your insights today. Thank you.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.